No, businessman John Magnier has lost a High Court case over the sale of the 750-acre Barn estate in County Tipperary. The billionaire had claimed he'd reached a deal in August of 2023 with owner Richard Thompson Moore to buy the estate for 15 million euro. However, in his judgment yesterday, Mr. Justice Max Barrett ruled that he had sought to hold the defendants to terms on the evidence were never agreed under contracts that were never made. The judge said neither the alleged land sale agreement nor the alleged option agreement were concluded, and there was no breach of an exclusivity agreement as claimed by Mr. Magnier. And that exclusivity agreement is where Kerry businessman, or Kerry born businessman, construction magnate Maurice Regan comes into the story, because he put in a counterbid of 22.5 million euro on the property, which led the Magniers to go to the court. With me on the line with details on this remarkable case, the legal fees for which run into millions of euros, is another Kerry man and legal affairs editor with the Irish Independent, Shane Phelan. Shane, good morning to you and thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Joey.
Look, this is a huge case because of the personalities and the details involved. It's huge money, a huge estate with a mansion in Tipperary that John Magnier wanted and he thought he had, but it turns out he didn't.
Yeah, I suppose one of the interesting things to emerge during the evidence in the case was how this whole dispute was being characterised. And a number of witnesses described it as a war, and this is a war between John Magnier of Coolmore Stud, a billionaire, head of a world-renowned thoroughbred breeding operation, and on the other side you have Maurice Regan, I suppose lesser known, but a very savvy businessman from the Stoll, went to New York. I think we all know that the construction industry over there is fiercely competitive, so to rise to the top of that, you know, you must have something about you. He did that with his firm JT Magan, still has big connections back in Kerry. He has sponsored Kerry GAA, Dr. Croke's GAA as well. But Maurice Regan wasn't a party to this case. He wasn't one of the defendants. John Magnier wasn't suing him. He was suing Richard Thompson Moore, who's the owner of this, or one of the owners of this estate, and a number of companies associated with the estate. And it all goes back to, as you said in your intro, a meeting where John Magnier felt he had this deal. This was August 22nd, 2023. There was a meeting at Coolmore House where Richard Thompson Moore and his wife Anna were present. Also present were John Magnier and his wife Sue. There was an auctioneer present, and also a farm manager from Coolmore. And Magnier claimed, look, there was an agreement, hands were shaken, there was an oral contract. He was going to buy this estate for 15 million euros. What he didn't know at the time, I suppose, was that Maurice Regan was also interested in this estate, but felt he had been blocked out from bidding on it. This may be because there was what was termed an exclusivity period. So after the handshakes, there was to be a month where, you know, there were to be certain developments, and the Barn estate side weren't to, be looking for other bids out there. But at the end of that exclusivity period, Maurice Regan came in with a bid which blew the Coolmore bid out of the water. He put in excess of 22 million euros on the table, and the Thompson Moores heads were obviously turned by this, and they wanted to go with it. But the trustees of the estate were hesitant, and they said, no, look, we should probably honour what was discussed with the Magniers. But their attitude then changed after John Magnier arranged for two envelopes containing 50,000 euros in cash to be delivered to Richard and Anna Thompson Moore. Now, this was, I suppose, described as a gift or a goodwill gesture, because the Thompson Moores had allowed Coolmore staff to come on to the land at at Barn Estate before, you know, anything formal had happened, before there had been a sale. But we would hear in court that the Thompson Moors were very uneasy about this cash and returned it 2 days later. And it was something that, you know, helped turn the tide, I suppose, against Magner, and eventually the trustees decided to go with Maurice Regan's bid. The Magners rushed to the commercial court and claiming that they had not one but two agreements under which the deal was to be done. And 2 years later, we have this trial in the commercial court that takes place over a period of 19 days. Very high-powered legal teams on both sides. The legal bill in this is going to be eye-watering. We think it'll be in excess of €3 million. And it all ended yesterday when judgment was handed down by Mr. Justice Max Barrett rejecting the Magner claim.
Yeah, and Shane, does it all ultimately, I know there's a lot of complexity and it was 19 days, there was text messages talked about and other things that happened, but does this all ultimately boil down to an oral contract? There's no contract at all. Now, I know in the ruling it said there was no oral contract at all and that inconsistent accounts had been advanced by the Magner side, undermining the credibility of their case. But it's an old business thing. If you don't have something signed on the dotted line, then it's not yours.
No.
Or is that too simplistic?
The oral contracts can still hold some weight, Jerry. What was the crucial finding here was that there was no oral contract. The judge didn't agree that there was one, he came to this determination, I suppose, by reference to documentation that was provided to the court. But one thing that really coloured his mind on this was the account from the Magner side, and the phrase he used to describe this, that the judge used, were shifting sands, that the Magner story changed over time, and it changed when facts emerged which were adverse to their case. So a crucial point, for example, was that the Magners claimed that at this meeting phone calls were made, or on the margins of this meeting, phone calls were made to the trustees of the estate. Now, without the agreement of the trustees, no deal could be done. And I think that is pretty much accepted now. So it was claimed that these calls were made and that basically the message back was, yes, we have a deal. However, during the discovery phase of the case, it emerged that actually no phone calls were made. And Richard Thompson Moore would say in court, well, you know, I didn't have a number to call a trustee, so it couldn't have happened. And this gave rise to a change in the case being put forward by the Magner side. And the judge said that there were adjustments made to their story when conflicting material emerged. And this, in the eyes of the judge, diminished the weight he could give to their version of events. Their story changed. John Magner and his farm manager, a man called Joe Houlihan, they attributed their mistake in their initial affidavits to not reading them closely enough before signing them, which would seem to be an extraordinary excuse in a case of this magnitude. And their story changed then. The judge said events were recast. An amended statement of claim was put in where it was pleaded that calls were made or intended to be made for the trustees, or alternatively that approval was already secured or would have been a formality. So it all became very woolly and it changed. And the judge said, look, I have
I'm
to take this into
it.
Account.
Yeah. Shane, finally, will Magner appeal this? And it looks like at the moment like Maurice Regan is the big winner here. He's already got his own stud farm interest in Tipperary. He wanted this land. Does it look like he'll get it?
Yeah, look, as things stand, he's the big winner in this. He's going to get the property that he so dearly wanted. Albeit he'll be paying a lot more than Coolmore would have paid for it, but look, he's the big winner. We don't know if the Magner side are going to appeal. The question was asked yesterday. There was a statement put out basically expressing disappointment at the ruling, and it said that they were going to be studying the ruling and wouldn't be saying anything more at present. So we'll just have to wait and see. There's obviously a period in which they can file an appeal. I think what the other next thing in this will be the issue of legal costs. There's going to be a hearing to determine that, but it would be hard to imagine a scenario where other than a scenario where John Magner will have to shoulder most of the legal costs in this case.
Okay. All right, Shane. Fascinating stuff. Thanks a million for taking us through it on the programme this morning.
No problem, Jerry. Anytime.
That's Shane Phelan there, Legal Affairs Editor with the Irish Independent. If you have a view on that one, get in touch.